We've been talking about Christ's words as he teaches us to pray. We found that his kingdom is not alone, but it is eternal. We discovered that his kingdom is your choice. You don't have to be part of the kingdom of God or kingdom of heaven, but you can choose to be part of the kingdom of heaven. We discovered that if we choose to become a part of the kingdom of heaven, then not only do we become an ambassador of Christ on earth, but we become the embassy of Christ on earth. As the scripture says, know or understand that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. So we end up becoming a resident of earth and a citizen of heaven. And we had a testimony that was emailed to me a couple of weeks ago, and I just want to share it with you. I'm going to read most of it to you. A business person here in the church travels to China on a regular basis, and in doing so, came across a particular testimony that one of the sermons we preached connected, and this is what they wrote. They said, I was working there in December and was overwhelmed by the increased amount of Christmas decorations and messaging in hotels, train stations, and airports versus the previous 7 years that I had been there. I was so noticed the difference so much so that I asked a local individual that I'll call V if this was all done for the Western visitors or if the locals did actually celebrate Christmas. The response was yes, we celebrate Christmas at our house. And that was a surprise to me. So I asked, how do you celebrate? They responded, we have a tree in the house and Santa brings gifts. So I asked them, do you know the meaning of Christmas? They said, well, we celebrate it, but where did Santa and the Christmas tree come from? So they say, so this individual writes, I briefly described the German origins of the tree and St. Nicholas. Then asked, do you want to know the real meaning of Christmas? Yes, was the immediate reply. I then was provided just the right words by the Holy Spirit, and without memory of the exact story, we traveled the good news from Adam and Eve's separation from God and the perfect holiness of God and the need of a Savior to Augustus Caesar to an animal feed trough all the way to the cross. What followed was incredible. As I read from Luke chapter 2 on my Bible app on my phone, V asked me if they could see what I was reading. As I turned my phone around, V grabbed the phone and began to read intently. Can I have the Bible, they asked? I mean in Chinese. See, in China, the government restricts web access to many people. They can't get everything that you and I can get with just a few clicks of the button, and so the Bible app is not available to anyone and everyone in the nation of China. And so, but local Western branded hotels are given a particular license by the government in order to be able to accommodate Western business people as they travel there to the country. And so in that hotel, the website, the web oversight was less. And as God would have it, we were able to download the Bible app in Chinese on V's phone. The next morning, we saw V in the hotel lobby and asked if they had read the Bible that night before retiring to bed. And they said, yes, we read the whole book of Luke. And there was God on the ground in China as he created a citizen for heaven out of a resident of earth, claiming a physical space on earth in a communist country for the kingdom, proving that heaven is everywhere Jesus is. And then they conclude, let your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Can we thank God for that? Sometimes we forget the value of the liberty that we live within. And here are people that are craving what we often take for granted. A resident of earth, a citizen of heaven. And we discovered that the kingdom of heaven is a place where the citizens of heaven find rest and peace and love, everlasting joy. But when interacting with earth, the kingdom of heaven is not peace and love and joy, it's an invading force. In fact, the kingdom of heaven is violently invading earth. And I want to encourage you, if you haven't been able to be with us for all of these services in the series, I would encourage you to go back to YouTube or Facebook or the podcast on iTunes and catch up to where we're at, because each of these lessons is building one upon another. And today we're going to talk about how do we survive, how do we thrive as residents of earth and citizens of heaven when we're living in a war zone. And we're part of the invading force. How do we survive? How do we thrive? Our series text has been in Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 13, where Scripture says, "Pray then like this, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we have also forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." The kingdom of heaven, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, is a declaration of war against the enemy. The kingdom of heaven is an unstoppable force. If the enemy could have destroyed the kingdom of heaven on earth, he would have done it a long time ago. You and I would have never had the opportunity to know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. If he could have stopped the kingdom of heaven, he would have stopped the kingdom of heaven. But he could not stop it. He cannot stop it. And he will never be able to stop the kingdom of heaven from invading earth. But the kingdom of heaven only makes an impact equal to the alignment of our life with the will of the Father. Everything is based upon the Father's will. That means that the Father's will becomes the foundational place of engagement in the kingdom of God. We can't go any further in the kingdom of heaven unless we're willing to align our life with the Father's will. And that means operating in unity with God versus against Him or pulling away from Him. The big idea today is this: the kingdom of heaven is built on unity. The kingdom of heaven is built on unity. Jesus knew this better than anyone. In fact, he's making his way to the cross, and he has prayed what we have already discussed. He says, "Hey, Father, I don't pray that you take everybody out of the world, but I pray that you protect them from within the world, because they don't belong to the world any more than I do." And in the same moment, in the same time, he prays in John chapter 17, verse 21. He says, "I pray that they will all be one, just as you and I are one. As you are in me, Father, and I am in you. And may they be in us, so that the world will believe you sent me." So he is saying, let them be unified like you and I are unified. There is no division in heaven. In heaven, there is unity. When we talk about the Godhead, or the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we're talking about three in one. There is no division in heaven. And this moment, Jesus is praying that believers, you and I, the church of Jesus Christ, would be unified even as he and the Father are unified. Two revelations, two expressions, two manifestations of God, but one God. Later in the New Testament, it says that we are many believers, many individuals, but we make up one church. Scripture even tells us that we have many parts of our body, but we are one body. The call for unity is consistent throughout Scripture. It's consistent in the kingdom. Why? Because the kingdom of heaven is built on unity. And I have three thoughts for us today. And thought number one is this: that unity is not uniformity. Unity is not uniformity. And I don't typically bring a negative statement in one of our thoughts. I typically bring a positive statement in our thoughts. But it's important for us to understand that when we're talking about unity, we're not talking about everybody doing exactly the same thing at the exact same time, always doing it just the same. It's unity, not uniformity. In fact, heavenly expressions of unity are not uniform in nature. For instance, in the angelic world, you have the angel Gabriel, who's the messenger angel. He's the one that went to Mary and said, "Hey, Mary, you're about to have a baby." And you see him throughout Scripture operating as a messenger angel. But then over here, you've got Michael. He's a warrior angel. They're both fulfilling the will of the Father, but in very different ways. They're unified in purpose, but they are unique in expression. How about the Father's will being expressed in the apostles' lives? You have the Apostle Peter, an ignorant fisherman. He's sent to the Jews, the educated Jews of his day. And that's what he's called to do. But you have the Apostle Paul, who's a Pharisee of the Pharisees. He sat at the feet of Gamaliel, and he is an educated person sent to a group of people who don't care at all about his education. It's not that all the Gentiles were ignorant and uneducated. They just didn't care about what he was educated in. I'm a Pharisee of the Pharisees. I know the whole law of Moses. And they would say, whoop-de-doo. Which is a very technical Greek term that you can look up later. Both of them unified in purpose, but in expression, unique. How about the Father's will being expressed in different churches? It was unified, but not uniform. In fact, if you read throughout Scripture, you see the letters that are written to the church in Corinth, the letter to the church in Rome, the letters to the church in Ephesus, the letters to the church, and I could go on. And you have all of these letters being written, and these churches are doing a great job in some ways. They have great strengths in some areas, great weaknesses in others. They're unified in that they're all pushing forward the will of the Father, but they are not uniform in that their weaknesses are not the same and their strengths are not the same. They are, in fact, unified but not uniform. All of them doing the will of the Father, just a little differently. So both individually and corporately, God's will is very simply this, that none should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That is the will of the Father. That is why Jesus was sent from day number one. And so it is the purpose that we are all unified around, whether we be in China or Korea, or whether we be in South America or here in the United States, wherever we may be as a believer around the world, our job is to see the Father's will expressed on earth as it is in heaven. And that's why we don't talk negatively around here about other churches. It's why we don't sit in judgment against other churches, against incorrect teaching, yes, but not against other churches that are lifting up the name of Jesus and following the plan of God in Scripture. Why don't we do that? Because they might look a little bit different, their expression may be a little different than what ours is, but we're praying that the will of the Father be done in them and through them, just as the will of the Father we are believing and praying and hoping that is being done in us and through us. We want to be part of the unifying of the body, not the tearing apart of the body. Uniformity, we can think with the word uniform, where everybody is dressed and looks exactly the same. And unity offers more freedom than uniformity because it isn't exactly the same. Not in action, not in thought, not in expression. But it is unified with a desired outcome. We can also see that unity is more powerful than uniformity. Because uniformity will break down as soon as someone has a little bit of a different idea. But unity is walking together by choice. Even if everything isn't exactly the same. Submitting to one another. Having humility with one another. But it is also self-maintained. Uniformity is often policed. Unity is self-maintained. A few weeks ago, I was walking into the parking lot where there was a group of people that were communicating, talking, and gathered to one side. And as I was walking by, I heard my name. And then one of them said, "Oh, here he is, right here." And so I walked over to the group and said, what's going on? They said, well, we were just discussing what we could eat on the Daniel plan. And this person was saying, hey, on the Daniel plan, you know, if I eat this, I hope Pastor Micah will be okay with that. I hope Pastor Micah won't be upset if I eat that over there. And I said, whoa, 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 leave Pastor Micah out of this. This is between you and Jesus, not between you and Pastor Micah. If you're standing right here eating a steak, I'm going to say, God bless you, and I really want some in a few days. That's between you and God. I've had people asking me this whole day, so when does the Daniel fast end? Does it end today or does it end tomorrow morning? It ends when you end it. That's how it ends. We're unified, maybe not uniform. I'm probably going to break the fast this afternoon, this evening. Probably have something to do with meat. So in our life groups, you're going to see different books being studied, different ideas being discussed. Everyone may not agree on every topic and every discussion, and that's okay. We're united. We operate in unity, but we're not uniform. And unity isn't uniformity. But that brings us to thought number two, that unity is a decision, not a feeling. Oftentimes we get really caught up in the feelings of unity. That's why you can be in a room and look across the room at somebody and be like, that is my soulmate. And there's no way to know that. You don't know what kind of crazy you might be walking into right there. But there's a feeling. There's a feeling that comes over you. And that is not the Holy Spirit that's talking to you right now. But you're just hooked on a feeling. Yeah, not everybody got blessed with that in every service. And sometimes we get hooked on a feeling and we try to work out a unity based on a feeling. And then our song ends with not hooked on a feeling, but it's like, and I really wish I wasn't. Because unity is a decision, not a feeling. It's choosing to join together around a common person or purpose. I've shared with you that recently a Middle Eastern Christian spoke with me and said, you know, back in my home country, the Christians of all kinds really kind of get along and help one another to witness to others and share the gospel. But when I came to the United States, I found out that a lot of Christians don't get along with one another. And why is that? And my answer is, I think we forget the war we're in. Because in our country, we don't fear the loss of our lives. And so we assume that we're in a place of peace. And peace allows us to become inwardly focused and become divided. You don't see warriors in a foxhole being shelled by an enemy going, you know, we really could fight together, but just the way you have your facial hair is really bugging me right now. Just picking something out. We usually got bigger fish to fry in that moment. People are bombing us, and we need to survive. Division is a luxury of peace. It's a luxury of peace, but war encourages unity, as survival is often dependent on it. And we're at war. We are absolutely at war. A faith family unified around the Father's will is unstoppable, while a fractured church will fall apart. It'll tear itself apart. But the decision is ours to make. In fact, I would say a decision for unity is choosing to offer grace and live out humility. And I had an opportunity to do this not too long ago. Somebody came, had a meeting. We scheduled a meeting. We sat down and this individual said to me, when you did this a few weeks ago, months ago in a sermon, when you said this, when you did this, it really offended me. Now, sometimes in what I do, I will offend people. I may offend you. And this individual offered me the grace of coming to my office and saying, this is what happened. You offended me in this. Now, they offered grace in this moment. Now, I could have operated in pride and said, do you know my title here? senior pastor, thank you very much. And I'm the person that's giving the sermon. And so, really, if it offended you, really, that's just the Holy Spirit trying to talk to you and straighten you out. And maybe at times it is, and maybe at times it isn't. Sometimes I just do stupid things. But this individual gave me the grace to come talk to me about it personally. And then I looked at them and said, I'm sorry. And I'm asking you to forgive me for offending you. And I don't plan to do it again. It means offering grace and living out humility. But churches can destroy themselves with friendly fire, becoming critical of each other, and division is the result. This individual offering grace allowed me the opportunity to apologize, and instead of us walking out fractured, we walked out unified. And I thank the Lord for that. Today, we just dedicated children. We unified with a family under the purpose. We're not telling them exactly what to do with their children or how to do it with their children. We're not saying whether they should be homeschooled or public schooled or whether they should go to college or not go to college. We're not saying what their curriculum should be or how they should operate their home. What we're saying is we're unifying with you in something that's bigger than that. We're unifying with you to help raise, to pray for you and help you raise your children by being good examples in the will of the Father. And you have to work out the rest of it in your own home. But unity is a decision made for a purpose. It's not just unified around nothing. There's a purpose involved in it. So what is our purpose? Thought number three, the purpose of unity is the saving of souls. It's the saving of souls. Jesus prayed so that the world will believe that you sent me. And there is only one way to be saved today. And that is through Jesus Christ. He said, you must believe that I am He. You've got to believe that I am the Son that the Father sent to pay for your sins. And He said, if the world looks at you and sees a unified church, they'll know that the Father sent me. If they see a fractured church, they may not receive that revelation. The fact is that a lack of unity costs something every time. Every time. A lack of unity in a family will bring divorce, confusion, breakdown of relationship, single parenthood, financial instability, loneliness. That's the breakdown of a family. How about the cost of a fractured mind? Could be mental illness. How about the cost of a fractured heart? Pain, loneliness, grief. How about the cost of a fractured business? Lower profits, unemployment. The lack of unity has a cost in every single area of life. And we as a church, we've made some of the hardest transitions a church can make. And we've chosen to walk forward in unity. A number of years before Christy and I moved here, the church made a difficult decision in worship styles. That's not an easy thing to navigate, and yet this church chose to walk forward unified. Then they had this little thing called the senior pastor transition. That's not easy. Pastor Andy was in the first service today, and I got to talk about him. I'll tell you, I've not seen it done better. And I've tried to play my part in that as well. People call me sometimes and say, how did that transition go? And I tell them, you need to talk to Pastor Andy on that side of it. I can help somebody coming in, but I don't know what it's like to go out yet. This church could have fractured, but it didn't. It walked together in unity. Then we had some staff changes, and that's a tough thing to walk through as well. Fractures churches oftentimes, and yet this church chose to walk together in unity. Then how about the fact that we've had amazing growth? We don't have four services on a Sunday just because I can't find anything else to do. It's because people keep showing up. God's entrusting us with his greatest treasure, you. So we want to make more room at the table. This church has chosen unity, even though the growth has changed so many things. How about moving into a new name change? It could fracture us unless we choose unity. That process is rolling out, and in the foyer actually today, there's a handout of where we're at and what our next steps are and what that looks like. And if you're interested in that, it's out there for you. It'll also be on the website. We're going to be walking into a new facility. And we're choosing to walk in unity. Here's the thing about unity. Not every single person has been thrilled with every change that's been made. Not even the people who were making the choices and decisions to change. Our elder team, our lead, our administrative team, our pastoral team, our staff in general. There's some hard choices that we've had to make. And there's been many debates as to should we go this way or that way? And is this right or is that right? And lots of prayer and talking through this with God and with one another. And there have been times where people have said, I don't really like this, but we choose unity. Our elders and our administrative team and our staff and pastors have all chosen to walk together in unity. Jesus links the unity of the believers with the revelation of himself to the world. So they must be unified, he said, so the world will believe you sent me. So here's the thing. The cost of a fractured church is an unsaved world. And the benefit of unity is the revelation of Christ in the world. Receive that today. In your family, in your business, in your friend relationships, in your church family. We have to choose unity each time. And unity is built in community. You can't be unified with somebody that you're not communicating with. If you and your wife hadn't spoken in 6 years, you got problems you don't even know about. If you and your kids can't communicate, it's hard to maintain unity there. So that's why we do life groups as a church. The people on this side don't always know everybody on that side. I was in a business the other day where people that were working side by side didn't know that the other person attended the same church as they do. We laugh about it. It's kind of humorous. But how do we get to know one another? We do it through life groups. We say life groups are church hangouts where we get to know one another. So in a moment, I'm going to pray for you. Our prayer partners are going to come forward. And then I'm going to dismiss you to go spend some time in the gym. If you have kids in kids ministry, just let them stay there for a few more minutes. They're taken care of. You'll interrupt their programming. But I'm going to ask you to go to the gym and just see, is there a group there that you can connect with? You might say, well, I'm already in a group. Great. See if there's another group you can be a part of. Or maybe you're shifting seasons in your own life, and the group that you've been a part of has been great for this season, and now you need to find a group that's going to be supportive in that season. Maybe not, maybe so. Unity, not uniformity. You might say, well, I don't need a life group. Well, that's really small thinking. Because it may not be about you needing a life group. Maybe somebody needs you. Maybe God's put something in you that somebody else needs to be able to grow and develop and move forward in the kingdom of God. You might say, well, I don't know anyone. Well, nobody starts out knowing everyone. I didn't know anybody here when I showed up. I had met with Pastor Benton on a video call. I'd met with Steve Supritz on a video call, which is amazing I showed up after that. And then I talked with Pastor Andy. I got to say that right in front of him last service. It was a lot of fun. Got to see people via video, but I didn't get to know them until I got here. You get to know somebody by saying, hey, this is my name. What's yours? 9 times out of 10, they'll tell you. If they don't, just walk on. You might say, I don't agree with everybody on everything. You don't agree with yourself on everything. I know Christy doesn't. That's why she steps up to the mirror and says, this is the perfect outfit for the day. 5 minutes later, she's changing her clothes. 12 outfits later, she's like, okay, this will work. If I have nothing else to wear. You had 12 outfits that you went through. Talk about nothing else. Okay, don't tell her I said that. What is God leading you in? How's he leading you to unify? I'm going to pray over you. Our prayer partners, why don't you come forward while I'm praying? And then I'm going to dismiss you to the gym. If you need prayer, come forward. If you're ready to go see what life groups are available to you, you're dismissed to the gym. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for your people. I thank you for the call to unity. Give us the courage to choose unity, even when it's hard, even when we don't agree on everything. I'm asking you to help us choose unity for something that's greater than ourselves. That is for the kingdom of God to be strong and to flourish in the earth. That is for more people to know who you are as Lord and Savior. You've called us to it. I'm asking you to empower us for it. And we give you thanks and praise in the awesome name of Jesus. And let everybody say amen. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. Prayer partners, come forward. If you're ready to be dismissed and go check out life groups, go ahead and do that now. If you need prayer, come forward and let's pray for you in Jesus' name.